Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Electric bills in Sitka could go up this summer. The Assembly advanced a plan last night to raise electric rates for all customers by 15%. The boost is to help the city pay for the millions it's borrowing to fund the Blue Lake Dam. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
It will take another meeting before the July 1st rate increase is set in stone, but the Assembly is unlikely to back down. That's because the preliminary vote on the new rates came just a few agenda items after another big financial decision, and this one is final. Assembly members unanimously agreed to borrow up to $45 million in bonds to fund the Blue Lake project.
This is sort of like the part at the wedding where they say, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Matt Donahoe was among those who testified before the vote.
If there was any way to hold off on this and just survive with surcharges for a couple of years until additional funding climate is better, God, I wish you guys would do that, because I don't see any money coming out of this legislature.
The city has asked state lawmakers for $43 million. The request was made shortly after the city learned construction of the Blue Lake Dam expansion would cost nearly twice what outside engineers had estimated. But with Sitka's senator no longer seated on the Finance Committee, there's not a lot of optimism that the legislature will write the big check. Officially, the decision to borrow more money and the decision to advance the electric rate hikes were two separate agenda items. But the two are woven together, and when Sitka resident Valerie Nelson got up to testify about the additional bonds, her primary concern was with residents' electric bills.
People are hurting now, especially the ones that can't control the amount of electricity they consume, and you've already generated an extra $600-some thousand a year by adding that $15 surcharge on. So people that can't afford to stay will make exit plans.
Still, there were members of the public to support the bonds.
Good evening. My name's Andrew Tomes.
He says it's a trade-off.
I think it's very unfortunate that the rates are going to go up, but if we think about the issue long-term, if we didn't build this project and didn't expand our hydroelectric facility, our rates would go up much more because we would have to pay for electricity using diesel generation.
Tomes is also executive director of the Sitka Conservation Society. The organization has been a big proponent of Sitka's two hydro projects at Blue Lake and Green Lake, and has long promoted them as an environmentally safe form of hydropower. That is in contrast to some projects in the lower 48, which harmed salmon runs on major rivers in the Pacific Northwest especially. Federal policy does not consider hydropower a renewable resource, and because of that, Tomes suggested that the energy focused on protesting higher electric rates to the Assembly might be better aimed at federal and state lawmakers.
Along with the rate increase, we need to be advocating to our elected officials that they give the support for these types of projects, and that we continue to advocate to the state government not to cut corporate oil taxes, but to invest in renewable energy facilities in our community like this Blue Lake Hydro project.
Utility Director Christopher Bruton expressed the same frustration with Washington, D.C.
The Department of Energy budget last year budgeted $3.8 billion for renewable energy projects for this country. $25 million was identified for hydro. That's a travesty.
Bruton says he hears the concerns of people who are worried about increasing bills, and future studies of how Sitka does its utility rates will take those into account. But he also repeatedly told the Assembly that, in his opinion, the Blue Lake Dam expansion is a worthwhile investment, one that would cost a lot up front, but save on expensive diesel fuel into the future. The city burned more than 1 million gallons of diesel last year to supplement Blue Lake and Green Lake's hydro projects. An extra charge was tacked onto bills to help pay down the cost of fuel, which brings us back to Matt Donahoe's statement from the beginning of this story. Now, remember, he said Sitka should hold off and let residents pay a diesel surcharge, at least until it seems likelier that Sitka will get more funding for the project. Bruton said his staff has explored that idea.
We are looking at everything we can to do to reduce costs on the project, and we have absolutely no reason to believe that by delaying it, we'd do anything other than increase the overall cost of the project.
Assembly members acknowledged they have little choice but to move forward. The Blue Lake project has been in the works for the better part of a decade now. The city has spent millions of dollars already, and every day crews travel up to Blue Lake Road to dig and blast and build. It is not going to get any cheaper, city officials say, and so for now, it's full speed ahead toward either a big check from the state, millions more in borrowed dollars, or a combination of both. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Sitka's last remaining private medical clinic has been sold. Sitka Medical Center announced on Monday that it had finalized the sale of its operations to the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH. Representatives on both sides of the transaction say the sale means no visible changes in staff and no planned changes in care for patients of either organization. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Doctors Robert Hunter and Rod Vaught founded the Sitka Medical Center in 1982 on the corner opposite Sitka Community Hospital. Bob Hunter says not to expect anything dramatic due to the change in ownership.
It's the same clinic, the same employees, the same providers, and there's no reason for the patients or the employees to note any change in the day-to-day operations.
The sale is not necessarily a surprise. Sitka Medical has been on the block for some time. Within the past few years, the partner who replaced Rod Vaught, Don Lehman, sold back his ownership in the clinic. Hunter says it was time for him to do the same thing.
At a point about a year and a half ago, I decided I'd rather be a doctor than a doctor and a business owner. So started looking for a way to sell the practice.
Hunter says he approached both Sitka Community Hospital and SERCH about a possible sale, and SERCH was the more interested of the two. Corporate spokesman Michael Jenkins says SERCH's role at the clinic will be management and low-key.
Basically, SERCH's role is really to be there to offer administrative guidance and support, you know, when it's needed or requested.
Jenkins says that anyone can go to Sitka Medical Center regardless of whether they're a SERCH beneficiary or not. He says SERCH was not looking to fill a hole in its outpatient care.
Well, I don't know if you'd call it expansion of services. I think what it really more is than anything else is just a continuation of services for the community of Sitka.
And Bob Hunter thinks those services will improve. He says Sitka Medical has never had a pediatrician or gynecologist on staff, and those seem like possibilities now. He also thinks SERCH's ability to recruit other new doctors and staff will be a plus, especially since finding someone to replace himself and Don Lehman has been difficult.
We thought we had the guy when we had Graham Chilius. I think he was perfect person to carry on the clinic into the future, but Sitka didn't work out for his family. And I just didn't see any prospects of a physician owner that I could sell to.
Hunter is aware that the sale of his clinic might revive some questions about the availability of care in Sitka. The tension that has existed between Sitka Community Hospital and SERCH has been quiet recently. Sitka Medical has been on the periphery of that debate, but no longer.
My philosophy is that the two hospitals at some point are going to have to work together, and the amount of duplication of effort, the duplication of services is at some point going to be unaffordable for our community. And this may be a small step in that direction. And if it is, I'm proud of that.
Hunter says Sitka Physical Therapy, which shares quarters with Sitka Medical, is an independent business and will not be affected by the sale. For himself, Hunter says he has no plans to ease off his caseload now as an employee of Sitka Medical rather than its owner. He hopes to work at the clinic for at least another 10 years. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A Sitka man will serve 4 years in prison for attempting to strangle his girlfriend. 23-year-old Joe J. Pete pleaded guilty in Sitka Superior Court to 2 counts of assault in the second degree and 1 count of assault in the third degree. According to police reports, a woman appeared at the Sitka Police Department last February to report a domestic assault. She said she had been in a relationship with Pete for about a year and living together for 2 months when he returned home inebriated and assaulted her. Police records state that Pete used his hands to strangle the victim to unconsciousness. She was subsequently admitted to the hospital for her injuries. This is Pete's first conviction. He was sentenced to 8 years in prison with 4 suspended. An Angoon man has received a longer sentence for similar crimes. 20-year-old Dillard M. Cloud II will spend 5 years in prison for giving his girlfriend disfiguring bite wounds. Cloud pleaded guilty in Sitka Superior Court to one count of assault in the second degree and to two counts of assault in the third degree. According to a statement from the Angoon Village Public Safety Officer, he was summoned to the Angoon Search Clinic by Alaska State Troopers in July of last year to meet with a woman who was receiving treatment for human bite wounds. The victim told the officer that she and Cloud had been in an altercation in which Cloud had pushed her to the floor, struck her, and bitten her. The report states that the victim had at least three bites on her face, one of which will be permanently disfiguring, and a 3-inch laceration on her leg related to the fall. Cloud was sentenced to 8 years in prison, with 3 suspended. Cloud was on release for another assault at the time of this crime. The dates have been set for joint sessions of the Alaska Legislature to hear from the state's 2 U.S. senators and Chief Justice of the Alaska Supreme Court. Chief Justice Dana Fabe is scheduled to deliver the State of Judiciary Address on February 13th. Senator Lisa Murkowski is set to address lawmakers on February 21st, though that could be affected by a debate in Washington over raising the nation's debt ceiling. Senator Mark Begich is scheduled to speak March 4th. It is tradition for the U.S. senators to address lawmakers on their work in Congress and issue that affect Alaska. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here's a look at Sitka's own weather. Today, expect rain, temperatures steady around 46, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain with lows around 37, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Thursday, rain with highs around 43, east wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. And on Friday, rain is likely. Highs around 41, southeast wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. You are listening to KCAW Sitka.